Welcome to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm your host, Ann Fisher, along with my chef's co-host and WOSU food critic, Steve Stover. Welcome back, Steve.
Good morning, Ann.
You've probably heard of Cameron Mitchell, the Upper Arlington native, who in 25 years has built a veritable restaurant empire that spans the country and includes 14 concepts, from Marcella's in the Short North to the very first eatery, Cameron's, which since 1993 has made its home in a Worthington area strip mall. Cameron Mitchell shares his story in a new book titled Yes is the Answer, What is the Question? And he joins us now to talk about it. Cameron Mitchell, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ann. Glad to be here.
The title sort of says it all. You reiterate that concept one way or another throughout the story.
Yes, it's a foundation I wrote in the very beginning for our company before we even had one restaurant. And it's an attitude that's pervasive throughout the company. And if there's a way we can do it, we will. Yes is the answer.
Right. And I was wondering how, you know, you talk pretty openly about your struggles as a young man. Tell us about how your struggles as a young man informed your trajectory in the restaurant business.
Well, I think my struggles coming up as a youth really kind of helped form the fortitude I have today, because to be able to get through all that. And I kind of fell into the restaurant business. I had to get a job. I didn't have any money, so I started washing dishes for $2.65 an hour in 1980, coming up on 40 years.
And Cork and cleaver.
Yes, exactly. I have a cleaver on my desk still to this day. So, but anyways, and then I was just working for beer money, not really knowing what I wanted to do. And living at home with mom and so forth. And I had an epiphany one day during a shift change. I was just turned 19 years old, and I was the laziest guy in the kitchen. And I looked around. I said, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. I absolutely love this. So I went home and wrote my goals out that night, woke my mom up at 1 in the morning, and ultimately wanted to be president of a restaurant company.
I think the idea that you went and wrote your goals down that way, you spent a lot of time on it. Now, you did that again after culinary school, right?
Exactly. And I still write goals out today. Today on my desk, I have a legal pad that has entitled my fourth quarter goals, my fourth quarter of my career. So I still, to this day, am a very goal-oriented person.
Yeah.
The yellow tablet. But man, was that ambitious. Executive chef by 24. I can't remember the exact.
Yep, you're exactly
but
right.
It was very.
23, yeah.
I sort of shuddered. I'd heard the story before, but I sort of shuddered when I reread that. Man, oh, man.
Very ambitious.
Well, I hit them all, actually. I wanted to be president of a restaurant company by the time I was 35, and we opened up our first restaurant by the time I was 30, so we kind of beat that.
Not bad.
Yeah.
A lot of people think, well, you were a chef, and then you fell into the let's start a company thing, and that wasn't it at all. That was a means to an end.
Correct. Yeah, I went to culinary school with no desire to become a chef. It was about learning food and learning the basis of food, so all with the idea of becoming president of a restaurant company. I felt like I better know a little bit about food.
And has it made that much difference?
Oh, absolutely. The Culinary Institute of America, where I went to school, I always say, and
not
still
bad.
To this day, laid the foundation for my career, laid the footers. I tell people I didn't graduate one inch above ground, but I had laid the foundation to build my career from there.
What did you learn there that, I'm trying to think, propelled you?
Well, the culinary is the Harvard of culinary schools, and they have a very distinctive system of learning, and you kind of march your way through over the 2 years there, and that discipline and hard work was just ingrained in me, and that quality of doing it right the first time has stuck with me ever since.
You talk a lot about the culture. Can you get us from the CIA to the culture, how that evolved?
Well, when I left the 55 Group and I started to start Cameron Mitchell Restaurants, I spent the first 30 days or so in my one-bedroom apartment working on writing out our company culture and values. I wanted to build a restaurant company that was going to be around for many, many years. My goal back then was, and it's still to this day, is, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50 years, 100 years long after I'm at the big restaurant in the sky, that our company is still thriving and doing well. So it had to be, I wanted to build a company that was based around a really dynamic set of culture or values. And so I wrote that out, and then I went about the course of building a restaurant company based on those values, and I'm still doing that today.
Had you worked at restaurants in Manhattan or wherever you worked in New York City that taught you that or showed you that how employees in restaurants are typically treated?
Not so much that. It's just I looked back on my career, about 12 years of restaurant experience at the time, and I just extracted all the positives that I saw in it, and you know, kind of wanted to discard all the negatives. And I read a bunch of books, and slowly but surely, I had stuff all over the walls, and slowly but surely, I got it narrowed down to the five cultural pillars we enjoy today and our eight core values, plus yes is the answer. What's the question?
Are you sometimes surprised at how business school-ish all of that was?
I guess so.
Because you were kind of not in that. It's not like you went to Harvard Business School.
Right.
You went to the Harvard of Culinary Schools.
Right. I don't know how I was blessed to know that that was so important and so crucial to do. And I think my company, the old company I work with, didn't really have a great culture and really have much of a culture. And I guess I felt there was a little bit of a void there. But, yeah, it worked out very well for us. And I actually got to go to Harvard Business School last year and speak. I'm going back again here in another month or two. And I always talk about it. It's kind of ironic that a kid like me with a 1.05 GPA is going up to speak at Harvard Business School. So, I was a little fish out of water up there, trust me.
Oh, I don't know.
The thing that I think is the most interesting is that you got to the point where the most important thing was the associates.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, they always say the customer comes first, and you
right.
spend a lot of time in the book talking about why. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell our listeners why your associates come first?
Well, I say we're a company built by its people for its people, and it always amazes me in the restaurant business. I see it all the time that you know, these companies sometimes they want their people to exude great hospitality, but yet they don't take care of their people, and so it becomes kind of an oxymoron. So I look as a triangular relationship, and we have a direct relationship with our people, not necessarily our guests. So I look as we take care of our people take care of our guests, and our guests take care of our company. So that's the way we view it.
You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It's All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City, and we are talking with Cameron Mitchell, owner and founder of Cameron Mitchell Restaurants. And his new book is titled, The Answer is Yes. What is the question? If you have a question or comment for Cameron Mitchell, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Steve Silver, do you remember when Cameron's opened up on
I do.
Dublin Granville?
Absolutely, yeah. That was sort of a go-to place. It was hot, hot, hot.
Yeah.
And
it's still hot, hot, hot.
I haven't been there.
I have.
I mean, there are now 16... concept, soon to be 18 mm-hmm. or 19.
Exactly.
Oh, it's 16 concepts?
16, with two more to come in here in the next couple of months.
Yeah. I stand corrected. I apologize for that. Wow.
But that's
still,
okay. I forget sometimes.
And when did it occur to you that you wanted so many concepts, that that's who you were, that you were kind of a, you know, multi-talented.
Well, when I started, I actually saw a little niche in Columbus that there, you know, Columbus was a real meat and potatoes town back then. And I had seen restaurateurs like Rich Melman in Chicago and Panos and Paul in Atlanta that had these multi-concept restaurant companies. Because I'd already started touring the country and seeing what's out there. And so it was really part of the beginning, really, that, you know, I just need to have one concept to start with, and that's what we chose, the American Bistro. But, you know, Cap City shortly followed after that, and Martini, and the Fish Market, and the Steakhouse. And so I really emulated really Rich Melman. Still to this day, I think he's the greatest restaurateur in America, and was fortunate enough to win his award one year for Concepts of Tomorrow Award by Restaurant Business. So he and I have become friends over the years, but that multi-unit operation, that's always will always be our origins, and we'll still continue to do new concepts. But we've been blessed that, you know, one or two or three of them have done well, and we've started to take them out of town. And first was the Fish Market, then Rusty Bucket has come along, and we've built 23 of those, and now Ocean Prime is our national brand. And we really want to look at taking Cap City and Hudson 29 out of town at some point in time here. So we're starting to...
That's in the planning.
Yeah, start to look for some sites and try our hand at that.
And the Pearl. So,
the Pearl also, yes, is doing very well. So
are you doing another one of... you're doing another one of those in Dublin, I think.
We're working on it, yeah. It's not quite official yet.
Oh, sorry.
It's very
Zip.
Close.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Let's see. Adam in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Adam.
Hey there, Cameron, Adam Gibson, former assistant GM at the Steakhouse downtown. How
sure,
you been?
Good. How are you, Adam?
Doing well. Just want to support everything you're talking about. I can tell you from firsthand experience, it was all about the culture and all about treating the associates well. And you got to return that favor every once in a while. So I don't know if you remember a flat tire incident on 670.
I do.
What happened?
Always happy to help. So Cam got a flat tire and was looking for help before Uber rolled around, and I pulled up in my little two-door, and he had some of his golf buddies that were not going to fit in that little, I don't even know what the make was anymore, a little Ford two-door. So we, I said, I can handle this, and swapped the tire out for him. So
it was very nice of you, Adam.
Wow. Yep. Well, Adam, what are you doing now?
I'm in real estate now. So,
you know, a lot of people.
Cam, if you need any help spotting locations, give me a shout.
Will do, Adam. Thank you.
All right.
Great to hear from you.
All right. Take care,
you
Adam.
Too.
Thank you. You know, a lot of people see a restaurant business as transitional for them. They don't see it as someplace that they stay. That's another thing. It's not always affordable for some people, depending on the kind of place it is.
Mm-hmm. But yet you have an extraordinarily low turnover. Can
right.
you cite yes. the statistic? It's just extraordinary. It's
last
like
year,
half the national
yeah, last year we had 5% management turnover, with the national average is up closer to 50%, 40-50%. Then we had about 46% hourly turnover, which the national average is up over 80%. So.
Oh, God, right now, especially.
Yeah.
Especially.
Mm-hmm. Difficult time out there with labor today.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough people.
Right.
Not
exactly.
enough workers.
Right. Right.
Just Pies closed during the holidays because they couldn't get enough workers mm-hmm. to do the job.
What happens? How do you get an idea for a new concept? How does that work? Are you working with your people all the time on things like that? Or do you wake up in the middle of the night, you write things down, that kind of a thing?
A combination of everything. Sometimes I think we're good thieves, too. We see what's going on out there in the country. But like a perfect example might be the Pearl down in the Short North.
Mm-hmm.
So that space became available, and I was friendly with the landlord, and I knew it was a great restaurant site. So I called him up and said, you know, are you going to rent that out as another restaurant? He said, yes. And I said, how much do you want for it? And I said, I'm thinking about that. I said, okay, great, I'll take it. Send me a lease over. And he goes, what are you going to put there? I said, I have no idea. We'll figure that out once we get the lease done.
Details.
You have to trust me. And he did. And so back then, you know, gastropubs were very hot around the country, and so you know, we toured around. We went to D.C., New York, and Chicago and looked at a bunch of different gastropubs. And, you know, we never really outright take anything. It just becomes the influence. And we might see a starch we like here or a uniform we like over here, or an idea or a design idea we see over here. So, and then you eventually becomes your own interpretation at the end of the day is what we created.
We're going to continue our conversation. My guest is Cameron Mitchell, also with us. My co-host, Steve Stover, WSU food critic. Cameron Mitchell, of course, is the owner and founder of Cameron Mitchell Restaurants, author of a new memoir. It's titled, The Answer is Yes. What is the question? If you have a question for Cameron Mitchell, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm your host, Ann Fisher, with my co-host, Steve Stover. And we're talking about CMR today. That is Cameron Mitchell Restaurants with Cameron Mitchell. His new book is titled, Yes is the Answer. What is the question? And he joins us for the program. If you have a question for Cameron, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Let's go back in time 30-odd years to the Columbus food scene. What's your impression of it then, and what do you think is the – obviously there are gigantic changes, but mm-hmm. what do you think they are? What do you think it boils down to?
Well, I think back in the day we had some chain restaurants, and that was really about it. We had the 55 group started, and they were probably the first, you know, multi-concept restaurant, private restaurant group that started. And then we came along and started to have our success. And I think then a lot of other young restaurateurs started to, it became a little, you know, the advent of the Food Network also was very important to that, and creating a generation of people that want to be restaurateurs and so forth. So, and so people started to realize they can do it too. And it started to spread. And we've got a lot of great independent restaurants today in the city.
And that's good for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The rising tide, yeah, yep. It lifts all boats, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think you were really seminal in Columbus becoming even more of a food incubator than it was. I mean, yes, we had White Castle mm-hmm. and Wendy's, mm-hmm. but then the next generation, you and maybe the Doody brothers and mm-hmm. a few others really kicked it up a notch with multiple kinds of things. I think that was really a turning point.
I think so, too, and I agree. But and I also can't help but make comment about the upcoming Columbus State Hospitality Management School. And people ask me about that all the time, which will open here this fall, and soft opening, really full bore in early 2020. But that'll be a state-of-the-art culinary school and hospitality management school that we want to be, you know, one of the top 10 in the country. And I think the impact of that on the city over the next 10 or 20 years as young people graduate out of there and stay in the city and continue to grow, and as our city is growing, I look at the future of the Columbus food scene in Columbus going nowhere but up, and I think it's going to be exciting as we move along.
Well, let's see. Anna and Marion, you're on the air. Hi, Anna.
Hi. How is everybody today?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Mr. Mitchell, it's an honor to speak with you.
Oh,
my grandfather was a master chef trained in France, five different countries, spoke five different languages. He was the opening chef for the historic Harding Hotel in Marion, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you're familiar with that because that opened up in 1924.
I think I missed it.
You might be a little too young.
Yeah.
But he followed some of your pillars. He took care of his staff. They were number one, and customer service was mm-hmm. an epitome. I just, how sad in Marion that we do not have the level of customer service and management taking care of the restaurant staff like you, my grandfather did, and my father, who was a chef and had his own business here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sad that the Hotel Harding, which was a four-star restaurant, five-star actually, I believe, and it had to close down due to mismanagement and how they kept the kitchen, the chef separate. Mm-hmm. But yet, my grandfather was paid very, very well. He left my grandmother a very comfortable life. So I'm glad to see that you can understand customer service. Okay. And how to take care of your staff and stay involved with the business operations. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Anna. Thanks for the call. 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you have a question for our guest, Cameron Mitchell. Also with us, Steve Stover, WSU food critic, and my co-host, Steve.
Can we double back to the hospitality? Because I think that is going to be really move Columbus into the big leagues in, mm-hmm. in culinary. Can you tell them a little bit more? It's an 80,000 square foot building.
Mm-hmm. Oh, at Columbus State.
Yeah,
it's gotcha.
Gonna be, it's,
yeah. Yeah, it has seven state of the art teaching kitchens, a beverage mixology lab, a 100 seat, two story culinary theater, two restaurants, has a bakery cafe, and a full service upscale restaurant also. It has a 400 seat conference center. We'll do a number of classes. Outside of the core curriculum for the students, there'll be a lot of classes for foodies and cooking classes and so forth.
For the general public.
Hours, exactly. People can use the culinary theater for, you know, corporate events, too, along the way. The 400-seat conference center will be open to the public also for public use. And we look at it really being a hub of activity there. On the campus, it'll reinvigorate the front door of the campus also. We're vacating Mount Vernon Avenue there. It'll become Campus Green out front there. And then the city is completely redoing Cleveland Avenue also.
When did you think and why did you think this was something that was going to be important for you to leave?
Well, This really started 5 years ago. This is really the midpoint of a 10-year kind of project, in my opinion. And, you know, Dr. Harrison and I were talking about, he approached me about, you know, what can we do with the culinary school? And they'd already done a great job, and we'd had a number of people in our company who graduated from Columbus yeah. State. And so we already had an affinity with the program and have been working with the program for a long time. And he said, you know, we'd like to do something big. And I said, well, how big? He goes, well, I don't know. Can you help me? And I said, well, before you say, okay, I understand. I think big. So we're going to do something. We're going to do it big and do it right. And so we started to sketch it out. And the real catalyst, we worked on it for a couple of years, and the real catalyst was getting the state. The state originally contributed $10 million mm-hmm. to the project. And then that once we secured that, we knew we were off and running, and midway through the raising of the $10 million in private funds, and then the school itself is putting $13 million through a bond issue. And so this really is going to be a project that is unparalleled. We traveled. I took the Columbus State culinary instructors and professor team and leadership team to a number of other culinary schools around the region to look and make sure we're doing the right thing and on the right track. And it's going to be really phenomenal when we get done with it.
And remember, it's not just culinary. It's also hospitality, mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. I think is really important. Mm-hmm. And that, once again, goes back to Columbus becoming even more important as a food incubator.
Mm-hmm.
And one of your next steps is the Bud Dairy building, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. I think is going to be so yeah. cool.
What's going to happen there?
Well, we have nine chef partners there. Eight or nine, it's still to be determined, but I think nine chef partners there. And part of what I'm trying to do going forward, and the school's part of that, and I'm doing some other things, is really, as I progress into the fourth quarter of my career, really focusing on stewardship and strategy. So strategy for the company, stewardship for the company, and stewardship for our community, and giving back to this wonderful industry. And so we're trying to get help. If all goes well, you know, two or three of these chef partners, as we call them, we can help get them to bricks and mortar. Basically, it's a forward version, if you remember. I mean, we look at the North Market, which has been great for the city, and we look at, you know, Hot Chicken Takeovers coming out of that. Jenny's Ice Cream has come out of that. And we hope to continue that along the way with Bud Dairy.
It's on North 4th, just south of 5th Avenue on the east side. It's a beautiful building. And as I understand it, there will be a common area mm-hmm. and then eight, nine, or whatever food right. stations right. with young entrepreneurs who can really develop their concepts in this sort of semi-sheltered environment. Mm-hmm. And then they can go out on their own, and they'll come and they'll go. Mm-hmm. I just think it's so cool.
And
it
we'll
is.
Close on Mondays. And those chef partners, part of our commitment to them is they'll be able to use any of the resources we have at Cameron Mitchell Restaurants to help with them, whether it be marketing or accounting or any other things that they might need to help them continue to grow their business and build it.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. My co-host, Steve Stover, is with me, and we're talking with Cameron Mitchell, owner and founder of Cameron Mitchell Restaurants. His new book is titled, The Answer is Yes. What is the question? If you have a question or comment, 614-292-8513. And Sherry in Canal Winchester, you're on the air. Hi, Sherry.
Hello, Ann. Hi, Steve. And hi, Cameron.
Hi, Sherry.
I just have to tell you that it's been years that I've been madly in love with your passion and your vision. And I heard it on the radio, and I had to share our first experience at Cameron's in Bexley. We were young and didn't have money and wanted to go somewhere fancy. Didn't know how to do that. Someone recommended your restaurant because they said that you literally had someone run down the street and get their child a burger from McDonald's because there was nothing on the menu that they mm-hmm. could find for their child. And that blew me out of the water. And I said, that's where we've got to go. And we felt so fancy there. I mean, we felt like, you know, we were young, had no money, and we left thinking that was the greatest thing we've ever experienced. And we have never stopped following every one of the restaurants. And we've raised our children to have the same love for everything you do. And when I heard the book came out, I thought, absolutely, he has the model of the answer is yes.
Yeah, you'll have fun reading the book if you've been following the growth of Cameron Mitchell's restaurants.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Sherry, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you. Thank you, Cameron. Bye.
I'm going to go to Sarah and Hilliard, and she can kind of kick up a conversation maybe about how you decide menus and mm-hmm. what the food's going to say. Sarah and Hilliard, you're on the air. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Hello, Cameron.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
When my fiance and I first moved to Columbus from out west, we found it difficult to find quality vegetarian food, mm-hmm. and we introduced ourselves to your restaurant, Marcella's, which we really enjoyed, but haven't made it to many of your other restaurants for that reason of having limited options. Mm-hmm. Do you plan to expand your vegetarian options in your restaurant?
Well, that's a great question. First of all, I think we have done a great job in Lead Columbus and the gluten-free movement that has really started, 10 years ago. We really didn't hear about it, and we teamed up with Ohio State to create all gluten-free menus in our restaurants. And now we're in the process of developing the Del Mar menu, our California cuisine restaurant that's opening up here. And we have an actual section on the menu that is dedicated completely to vegetarian items and so forth. And I think coming from California is part of what we need to do there. And we're seeing that movement continue to grow. In fact, I just today worked and responded to an email for a group that has about 25 members, and they want to do a plant-based menu group dinner. Would we be willing to do that? And I just emailed them back this afternoon or this morning before I came here and said we'd be happy to do it. And I gave it to one of our corporate chefs, and we know we need to move forward on this. It's we're way past the days of just creating a veg plate in the restaurant. some guests along the way. So we're continuing to work on it.
Okay, Sarah, thank you.
Good question.
Thanks, Sarah.
Steve?
I was going to say, talk about your national brand, mm-hmm. Ocean Prime, mm-hmm. which evolved from the Ocean Club in Columbus, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and talk about that because it's an extraordinary story in and of itself. Mm-hmm. These very outstanding locations in mm-hmm. Beverly Hills mm-hmm. and New York City mm-hmm. and Boston, mm-hmm. Seaport.
We open in Chicago 60 days from today at the corner of Michigan and Wacker. If anybody knows Chicago, they know that corner.
We've worked. Big time.
We looked for 5 years there for trying to get the right location. And we try to discipline ourselves to get trophy locations across the country as we grow. And that Ocean Prime brand has really evolved very well. And we've done a lot of work on that whole brand over the years. And today, I would say it's in the top 5 or top 10 brands in the country in terms of its average unit volumes. So it's been very successful for us.
Can you explain the concept to our listeners?
Sure. It's an amalgamation of a high-end steakhouse with a high-end luxury seafood restaurant that we've combined with an incredible cocktail bar and cocktail program. And much more seafood friendly than or seafood forward, if I will, more than your traditional steakhouse, if you will, and thus the name. It's Ocean Prime. It's prime seafood, prime steak.
Let's see, Anna in Columbus. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi. My question is: do you think that Columbus has the potential to be as exciting and, I guess, innovative as places like Chicago, as you guys said, as a food incubator and things like that?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question, and I hope Columbus has that ability. And there's a couple things that need to happen. First of all, Columbus is so spread out. It doesn't have the density downtown that a Chicago or New York or some of these bigger cities have. And you need to have that density to have a number of restaurants, to have the volume and have the restaurants be able to reach all the different directions and different ethnicities and different concepts that would come. So Columbus you know, I happen to belong to a group called the Columbus Partnership, which is and people like Les Wexner and so forth, and what they're doing, and the city of Columbus and our wonderful mayor. Columbus is moving forward at a rapid pace and getting a lot of attention out there on a national basis. And so as we continue to grow, and I think, you know, everything comes together, the hospitality school, the growth of Columbus, the resurgence of downtown and people moving inward, will continue to augment our restaurant scene and continue to take it up to new levels. So we might get there one of these days. It's my hope.
Okay. Anna, thanks for that call. Real quick, Francis in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Francis.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Good. Well, thanks.
First of all, this is an honor to be speaking to or asking a question to Cameron Mitchell.
Oh, thank you, Francis.
You're welcome, sir. My question is, what was your inspiration when you created M. Marinova? Because I think that is the best restaurant in Columbus. I had the pleasure of experiencing it as a birthday gift for my girlfriend years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was just perfect that night. The food, the drink, the service, everybody.
The setting.
Was, oh, yeah. The setting especially. And I will say this. It was one of my best experiences in a nice high-end restaurant. The wait staff was very, how should I say it? They anticipated my every need, and just for that alone is, you know, that the experience was really great. So.
You're making Cameron Mitchell smile. A
well,
lot.
Francis, we have to get you as a company spokesperson for
that.
Us. Well, thank you. Just real quick on M, I'll tell you, we are, you know, it's our fine dining flagship brand, if you will, of our company, and it's we're getting ready. We're just actually in the throes of it. We'll reopen. We're going to close here for a month or so, or a few weeks or so, in I think late May, early June, and we're completely refurbishing them, and we're doing a whole brand new menu there, really taking it up a whole nother level and bringing it forward. So we're very excited about that. And I love the restaurant. I think it's gorgeous. And I'm looking forward to the new M coming out to Columbus here in another few months.
We're going to be working with one of your great bartenders there for a membership drive coming up this spring. Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Chris DeLavi, right?
So, she's one of the best.
Yes, she surely is. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Cameron Mitchell, owner and founder of Cameron Mitchell Restaurants. His new book is titled The Answer is Yes. What is the question? Steve Stover, my co-host and WSU food critic, is also with us. If you have a question or comment for Cameron Mitchell, give us a call, 614-292-8513. And Cam Francis, thanks for your call. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm your host, Dan Fisher. We're talking with Cameron Mitchell today, owner and founder of Cameron Mitchell Restaurants, author of a new book. It's titled The Answer is Yes. What is the question? If you have a question for Cameron Mitchell, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Also with us, of course, my co-host, Steve Stover. I guess it's time for our news of restaurant news
well,
in Columbus.
Well, we can do that, but I also want to double back to to the news of the Cameron Mitchell restaurant.
Okay.
Our breaking news is the much anticipated Alquería, which means farmhouse in Spanish, is on King Avenue. They opened on Tuesday, and I'm going to try to get there next week. It's not really the two chefs at Barcelona. And it's sort of a farm to table kind of thing with lunch, brunch, and dinner. And sounds sort of new American. Then I also spent some time with the young owners of Fox in the Snow. They opened their third location. They have these wonderful bakery cafes, and it's a young couple. When I was having coffee with them, the new baby was sitting there. Okay. But the one thing they said is two things. Number one, Cameron Mitchell is one of the great helpers for young entrepreneurs. They said Cameron will spend 2 hours with them and help them out, and he always has good advice. And their second point was Columbus is a really collegial community because people are sort of – everybody's in the food business. It's a very competitive business. But they have found, coming from New York, that it's such a warm and welcoming committee that there's a lot of collegiality. And I think you have monthly meetings that encourage young food entrepreneurs.
Yeah, again, as part of my stewardship strategy, I started a group. I have six young restaurateurs in this group. All have one or two restaurants, and Jeff is one of them from Fox in the Snow. And really, we meet twice every other month for 4 or 5 hours and talk shop. And the idea is to help them maybe avoid some of the pitfalls that I made along the way. And ultimately, I know anytime I talk with anybody, you know, I learn too. So I'm not, you know, saying it's all me. And so we have great interaction and great discussion. And it's just I'm trying to describe it. It's been a very heartwarming and a very fun thing for me to do.
Any others we know?
Yeah, we have Mikey's Late Night Slice. We have Fusion in there, the guys from the Walrus and Pecan Pennies. And,
young guys.
And we're just working on – we got a couple more in the hopper here. And the idea is we're not putting – none of us are going out of business. We're just trying to help each other move forward.
So. What explains the collaboration, though, in this competitive business?
Well, I mean, in terms of what do we talk about, you mean? Or
no, it's just that they also said not in addition to your leading a lot of collegiality – in general, it's a collaborative.
Well, yeah, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Is Columbus just a welcoming kind of place?
Exactly,
because
right.
I know the craft brewers, a lot of them have said the same thing about the atmosphere in this town.
Yeah, we call it the Columbus Way. And it's
the Columbus Way,
what,
right?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Emily in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Emily.
Cameron Mitchell, I would like your opinion on the effect of food trucks in Columbus. Has that affected the permanent restaurant business at all?
Not. Well, I say I've got two answers to that. Not really, and yes, a little bit. Because really where you have a concentration of food trucks, maybe downtown and some of those offices, so it might be they might be hurting some of those restaurants and delis and so forth down there. But I think overall, the food trucks, especially out in the suburbs and the bigger restaurants, I don't think it is hurting. And, you know, I think they're doing a great job for what they do and continue to push the envelope. And so it's they have their part and their place in the city, I think.
Isn't it a somewhat proving ground for young restaurateurs who have a concept and they just can't get the funding to open a restaurant, but they can test these concepts out?
Right. And we worked on the Bud Dairy Food Hall when we had 100 applicants for the 8 or 9 positions we have. And a number of them were food trucks. And so we have a couple of them have moved in, which we're not ready to announce just yet. But they, because we haven't signed their agreements, but they are will be members of the food hall also.
That's great.
Emily, thanks for that call. I'm turning now to Robin in Columbus. You're on the air. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Cameron. I was wondering if you know what the future looks like for restaurants and dining in the King Lincoln District, Old Town East of downtown.
Well, I think I'm not that familiar with them, but I know the a couple of those areas are regentrifying and continuing to grow, and there's already some restaurants down in the Old Town East I know that have popped up. And if you remember the Dell way back when was there and so forth. So I think they'll continue to grow along the way. But it's as the density of Columbus moves downtown, so will those areas, I think, reap some ancillary benefit from that.
But that Parsons and Oak construction thing really.
Wow.
What was our – Kent – there was a restaurant there that we really liked, and it just couldn't stay in business. But there's
there's Crest now, there's Crest, and there's
Oh, was, especially further down. On
yeah, that, okay, that's what I said. Yeah. You're thinking about where Dell was.
Well,
yeah,
you think of the impact of Children's Hospital and their growth down there. It's all coming along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Flo in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Flo.
Hi, good morning. Hello, everybody, and thanks so much for hosting this great program. First of all, Cameron, congratulations, 25 years.
Thank you.
And I thank you so much for writing the book. It's so real and so inspirational. I would recommend it to all of the listeners today. And I've been a longtime fan of yours, collecting photos, articles, newsletters, everything I can. And just want to say thank you so much. Kudos for your giving back. You're a great example to businesses here in Columbus. You're truly an inspiration. And we're grateful.
Oh,
thank
you're too
you.
Kind. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Flo.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Thanks,
thank
Flo.
You. Bye.
Bye-bye. I wanted to go back to the lady who called from Canal Winchester and how they didn't have a lot of money, but mm-hmm. it was this big night out and they brought their kids and they were so impressed with how you treated them. I remember I grew up in a big family and we were stuck in Atlanta on a trip and we couldn't find a restaurant that would seat us. And my dad finally found a really fancy restaurant that we couldn't afford, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But he said, I got to feed my kids. We've been driving around all night. No one will seat us because there must have been a big convention in town. And they ended up giving us a banquet room and our own waiter.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, because we were desperate. But, you know, you think about kids and a lot of restaurants, they're not very welcome.
Right, right. And it drives me nuts. You know, we're in the hospitality business. That treating guests like we guests treat people in our own home is what that means. That's the definition of hospitality. So we see it out there. And, I tell our people, we preach all the time, you never know where someone's coming from, what their situation is. And you know, judging a book by its cover, I can't stand that. I can't stand when we have, a winter dance in high schools or there are high school kids in there, you know, that aren't spending a lot of money, et cetera. And if a server treats them any differently, I can get very upset about that. It's just these are our future guests, and everybody deserves genuine hospitality when they come into our restaurants. So,
yeah.
Oh, I was just going to tell the story about a winemaker who comes up at the end. Your staff went the extra mile for.
Yeah. I was out in Denver for lunch, as a matter of fact, and a guy comes in with a table of four, party of four for business lunch, and wanted to order a bottle of Hoenig Sauvignon Blanc. And service is okay. He comes back, says, I'm sorry, we're out of it. And he says, oh, okay, no problem. I'll order another bottle. And server comes back again in about 5 minutes with a bottle of Hoenig Sauvignon Blanc. And he says, you must have found one in the back. And he said, no, I know you wanted it, and I had to get it for you. So I ran across the street to Capital Grill. I knew they carried it. I called over there. They carried it. And so I got it for you. And I just wanted to make sure we had the wine that you wanted. And he wrote me and called me on it, actually. And it ends up, it's my friend, Michael Hoenig, who makes Hoenig wines.
Yeah.
So it was a great story. But we have had hundreds of those stories. I had a gal just yesterday tell me about she wanted a Chopin vodka and tonic, and we didn't have Chopin, and it's potato-based, and so it was good for one of her diet, the only one she could drink. And our server ran down the street to one of our other restaurants that we knew carried Chopin and brought it back.
The other guy went to a competing restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
went
yeah.
to the Capitol Grill to get, and probably paid a big markup to get that bottle of wine for Michael Hoenig.
Yeah.
Well done. There were times when I was reading the book that I said, wanted to say, stop, don't do it, Cameron. But you shared the downers as well as the uppers in this whole story. And when you overexpanded after selling a bunch of your restaurants for a bunch of money, and then next thing you know.
Yeah, it was a difficult time. I used the analogy of you know, the car going around a steep cliff on a gravel road and too fast and kicking the rocks over the edge and going on two wheels and kind of coming around. And that's really kind of how reckless we were and how much we overexpanded and just made a lot of mistakes. We've made a lot of those mistakes. And I always tell people in our company that we don't fire people for making mistakes in our company. If we did that, they'd have to fire me first because I've made the biggest mistakes along the way. So, but fortunately, we recovered. I always say I talk about it in the book. It took some really, really crappy restaurateuring or entrepreneuring to get into that mess, and it took some really good entrepreneuring to get out of that mess.
You made promise at the end of the book that you will promise to never.
I'd do that again. I've done it 3 times.
Overexpand.
And, it's been too tough.
Tommy in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a 12-year-old who loves cooking right now. She does all our pastries and cakes and cupcakes, pretty good macaroni and cheese. Broiled salmon is one of our favorites that she cooks for me and her mom. But what I want, my question is there any type of programs out there for someone as young as a 12-year-old? That she could.
There is, and I can't remember the name of. There's a company here in town. I don't think it's Super Chefs. There's some other thing that they do these cooking classes for kids.
For kids,
in particular. Yeah. So, and that's something we'll do at Columbus State, too, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I hope so.
Yeah, and it's great that she's doing that. That's. I remember making my first dish I ever made. It was a popover in middle school in home ec class, and I still to this day know how to make a popover. But it was planting those seeds early with those young kids and they can see their way.
We used to do kids classes at La Belle Pub back in the day.
Betty,
our kids were instructors, and so I don't know why that died out because I think
it's bigger than ever because of the food channels and all that kind of stuff.
There's so much interested in. I hope we can find something for her.
I love watching the food cooking competitions with kids. It's so much more interesting than with the adults because they're more collaborative and they're more open to each other. It's nice. Tommy, good luck with that. And if we do find out anything, maybe Cameron will remember the name of it. We'll post it on our Facebook page. So hang in there. Let's see. Tom in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Tom.
Oh, hi. This is a question for Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great show, by the way. But when you first opened your store in Linworth, was there any doubt in your mind that it was not going to make it? Did you have some apprehensions about it?
That's a great question, and yeah, there was a hell of a lot of doubt. I literally told this story just the other day too. It's we're opening in Chicago in 60 days, and I have the same amount of trepidation and worry and fear opening Chicago as I did our first restaurant, and I do with every restaurant. You know, we usually know how they're going to do, and we're getting pretty good at forecasting and so forth, but it's not an exact science. And so, you know, Cameron's at Worthington, we opened up, and I'll never forget it, very concerned, but we opened up very strong, and the Grumpy Gourmet was an early fan of mine and great guy for the restaurant industry and our business, and a great supporter of our business. And He gave me a couple plugs, and next thing we knew, the first few weeks we were packed, and I knew right then and there we're going to be okay before I ever got my first profit and loss statement. But it's always scary. There you can't. And I think if I ever got to the point where I wasn't scared and wasn't nervous about it, then I think that would start the beginning of some problems, and because you just can't be overconfident like that.
There are a whole bunch of goodies in here, and it's from Harvey and Ed's, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, our new deli we opened up.
Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lovely.
New deli. It's a real different kind of concept for you.
Yeah, it's it's our modern take on your traditional Jewish delicatessens you might find in New York and along the East Coast. And Dave Miller, our president chief operating officer, really wanted to open one of these in Columbus. And his dad and uncle, that's who Harvey and Ed is, used to bicker all the time and go to all these different delis around the country all the time about what's the best sandwich and so forth and who does it best. And as David and I have traveled the country, he's taken me to a lot of these places, and I've come to enjoy it too. So I said, yes is the answer. What's the question?
I've been sitting here drooling the entire time. They were tempting us from
really, really very.
We
walked
in,
and it was there, and it was. It's too much. So,
Cameron Mitchell, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure,
I really appreciate it.
Glad to be here. Anytime.
That's Cameron Mitchell. He's owner and founder of Cameron Mitchell Restaurants and author of a new book. It's titled The Answer Is Yes, What Is the Question? And also Steve Stover, as always, thanks for helping me take the helm. And thanks to everybody for your great calls. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.